to feel the emotions, even through the screens. So I think we should roll.
Yes.
Any introductions or just let's just listen to the song,
yeah,
like we do every time. Hello, everyone who's coming in. We're gonna share the screen and we're gonna start the song. Yeah, people are coming in, but I think we should start it. All right, with no introduction, we're starting the song of today. The song is called the Convoy Song, Shir HaShayara. All right. Oh, this is not the screen. No, this is not the song. And the song is right here. The Convoy Song by Arik Einstein.
What, who was that?
We'll see in a minute. Now let's see, do you hear the... Yeah, share screen.
Share sound.
Share sound. Again, technical issues. Oh, here we go. 3, 2, 1, play.
ולא נתנו לו ימשיכו בלעדינו זוהי הפתקת חיינו.
Okay. just going through the faces and the smile, I see we can understand a little bit more.
It's
really different. Before we start, we want to hear what you think. What is the song about? What is it?
It's about immigrants coming to Israel.
When?
And even the hardship of coming there and having to do the hard work to build it, they were happy.
Okay. When do you think that it's happened?
This looks like some shortly after 47. Because they talk about Ben-Gurion.
That's right. Yeah, they talk about Ben-Gurion in that case. Anyone enjoyed the song in general without the context? I mean, I see Terry's nodding. I see Michael give some thumbs up. Ira, very good. Very good. So first of all...
It's kind of a companion piece to the Ashes and Dust from last week. But while Ashes and Dust was very mournful and melancholy, and why are you going back to visit... concentration camp, why are you even going back to visit your home in Poland that wasn't there, all that hardship, this is a much more upbeat,
it's much more upbeat,
you're going towards something, one looked at the past, one is looking to the future, despite the hardships, there's reason to be happy.
So first of all, thank you, yeah,
there's no room for happiness, really.
Thank you for saying that, because this is the reason we chose this song, because as the second song, I think if we combine last week's song, and those of you who weren't here last week, we did Efer Ve'Avak, Ash and Dust by Yehuda Poliker and Yaakov Gilad, which is a Holocaust song. It's about a child who writes a letter to his mother when she decides she wants to go back to the camps. This week we chose something that is more happy, more cheerful. And I think the combination of those two actually demonstrates what Israeli culture is based upon, what Israeli culture is mixed from. And I actually think that while the song's melody is very, very, very fun, right, and happy, and as we will see in a minute when we will share the screen with the details, I think that I would say the lyrics are not as happy as the melody is, right?
There's a dissonance between the lyrics and the tune.
Well, it recognizes the challenges, but there's something more positive in the future. It's a forward looking song, a future looking song, whereas the other one was all about
exactly.
I think
through the recent past.
And I think that it tells us more than the dissonance and the future will be good. I think that they want to tell us about what happened during these years in Israel. What is the vibe that people live like, and how the Israel diplomat, how do you say that? Anashim shekimu et amdina, anashim
those the pioneers. The pioneers, and what did they feel?
And what, how they...
Trying to share the screen, Priel, and I have problems with sharing the screen for some reason. I don't know what happened today with my Zoom. Probably my Zoom is over. I worked with it too much today, which I think my Zoom is tired. Let's try it one more time again. I think, no, I don't think it's one of those. I think this is this. But here, all over again, it starts over and over again. I don't know why. Let's open that again from here.
So I will continue.
Yeah, continue from here.
That they see the screen?
No, not yet. I don't think they see the screen. I'm going to do it now. Yeah, continue. Sorry.
That I think that they choose this melody for this lyrics because they want to share with us the vibes that happened in Israel during these years. And more of that, I want to talk about the writer of the...
Yeah, so let's introduce who wrote the song what it's performed
because
by.
It
says a lot. So the Convoy song, which a convoy, it's a new word that we learned in English. Thanks to this class. Shir HaShayara in Hebrew, written by Eli Mohar, that's his name, and performed by Arik Einstein. Now we'll talk a little bit about Arik Einstein. I see some faces are nodding in the Zoom because if there is one singer that I think represents Israel and what Israel culture is, is Arik Einstein. And I think the respect that we should pay for him.
One of them is Arik Einstein.
I think maybe the most. We can discuss it. Again, you know, from last week, we don't disagree usually. We don't always agree. Sometimes we disagree. But Arik Einstein performs this song. And as you see, there is no composer. Because the tune, the melody, is such a happy melody. Is actually not original. This melody is a Greek, a kid's song, a Greek children music, a kid children song, a lullaby for Greek children that Eli Mohar and Arik Einstein decided they want to adopt and to put on the lyrics of the song. So I agree with what Ira said, that the song is really happy because the melody is really happy, but if we just, I don't know, if we clean the song from the lyric, from the melody, we can read it in a kind of a negative way, I would say. Not negative, but kind of a challenging song, right? As we
That's
say...
The visual, they see the screen,
yeah, everyone yeah? sees the screen, right? We're good.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone sees the screen, right? As we say, we the songwriter, Eli Mohar, which, again, this song was published or was released in 1987, all right? Both of them are not alive anymore, just so we can see who they were. This is Eli Mohar right here. He passed away in 2006 already. And Arik Einstein, the giant Arik Einstein, passed away in 2013. They both not with us anymore, but they both have such a footprint in Israeli culture, and which we will meet both of them. Not only Eli, not only Arik, we'll meet both of them together and each one separated long ahead in our journey. And this is the album, as you saw the cover, from the song. It's called in Hebrew Al Gvul Haor, in the limit of light. The boy that is jumping, this is Arik himself when he was young. Arik Einstein, the singer.
Yeah,
this is the boy that is jumping here. And there were more songs, famous songs from this album, which we'll discuss in a minute.
I just want to add something about Eli, is that he's really a tzabar, okay? And when I read the song, I felt that someone that made Aliyah, that lived his life before Israel, and then he came to Israel. And when I see the biography of Eli Mohar, so I see that he's a tzabar, okay?
We all know what tzabar means, right? When you say tzabar, someone who was born in Israel and raised in Israel. He did not come as an ole.
And I feel... Now, when I understand that he is a tzabar, that maybe he tells a story in his point of view. Everything okay? Yes! Woo! We all together! We will now discuss about every sentence, but I want the concept, that the vibe that we had from the song is, hi, okay, yay, we are here, we mekimim.
In other words, if last week, if I understand you correctly, Pril, if last week, we said that the second generation is talking about his experience.
Yeah.
Here he's reflecting the other's experience.
The other's
okay.
experience. Yeah. And I feel that it's a big impact in our song and in our culture of Israel, I think, that who tells a story.
Who tells a story in different songs, that's right.
Yeah.
As I would like to focus, before I hear you a little bit, yes. Yeah. Ira? Yeah.
Yes, could you, just to put it into further perspective, do you know what year this song was written in and what year Ashes and Dust was written in?
Yes, Ashes and Dust was written in 1986, and this song was written in 1986, Ashes and Dust, and this song was written in 1987.
No, so we know that they... Yeah,
they released it. They released it in 1987, one year after Ash and Dust.
Yeah.
One year after Ash and Dust, which is very interesting. We haven't thought about it, but it's one year after.
The lyrics almost, you would think, had been completed.
That's Israeli culture. That's Israeli culture.
It has a 1950 sensibility in Europe and early, very pioneer Jewish history in Israel in the 40s and 50s. So it's sort of... It's an interesting look back on,
right, because it says
really
here
reflecting back onto something,
and it's very optimistic, which really I thought was around the time of Milchemet Sheshet Hayamim. I thought it's maybe in the mid 60s,
yeah,
maybe after 1967, because it's that kind of optimism and rah rah, and you don't see that so much anymore. I didn't think.
Yeah.
So I don't want to ruin the party, but
which I did.
I don't want to ruin the party, but I do want to focus about two things in the song, which I do think are more complicated than just joy and happy, and I don't think that everything is so pink. First of all, I adore the way that Eli, the songwriter, represents the I would say the Zionist Israeli Jewish history as a convoy. Right? Think about it. It's something that is in constant going, constant transportation, never stops, right? As you said in the chorus. And the convoy keeps on passing since last century, since our forefathers that came before our ancestors that came before us. The first ones are already far away, which are the farmers and the pioneers. Some of them, when he wrote the song, now we see he didn't write it in the 1950s.
And I want to take this and to take the word shayara, how do you say that?
Shayara convoy.
Maybe we can change that to a masoret, tradition.
Tradition,
yeah.
In that case. I think so. I think it can be a tradition, definitely.
It's the tradition. We have the...
Since last century, yeah. The first ones are already far away, the farmers and pioneers who worked very, very hard. And we can see how he says, right? They worked very hard, here in the chorus, without seeing the end of the road. And here we're passing now. Now it's our turn of the convoy that is passing. We never stopped nor rested. They will never continue without us. Who's they? Are they the ancestors? Are they the other people that will come after us? Who are this they? This is the adventures, he says, of my life. And he actually mixes the different aspects in Israeli culture, in Israeli conscious, ghettos, camps, from deserts, from swamps, from Arab countries, from Russia and from Poland, exactly that, from different exiles, from different places, from different traditions, all the way until together there is other elements in Israeli culture, like such as, for example, how Israel is growing around us. This is one of the strongest sentences, right, in the song. How Israel is growing around us stronger than all of our disadvantages. Now, we need to understand that back then, in the 70s, in the 80s and 70s and before that, there were a lot of flaws in Israel society. It took time for Israel to grow up as the country we know today. It didn't happen in one day, all right? It took time. And yet, there was a lot of, all the way today, there's still challenges. But back then, of course, there were even more challenges. And even then, they preserved this optimism.
Maybe we want to talk about the Hebrew.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Hebrew and I'll talk also, you know, even before the old men. If you listen carefully, you could hear that towards the end of the song, Arik Einstein, the singer, mocks David Ben-Gurion. Where David Ben-Gurion says, you see, Ve'gam ha-negev od yiyeh poreach. And he mocks him with this, I would say, Israeli Tzabari accent of this, of the one, not Tzabari, but this Israeli, European accent of someone who made Aliyah. And this is Arik Einstein. He was a comedian also, and he was an actor. And in other words, they're paying respect, right? We will make sure that the old man is the nickname of Ben-Gurion, will be satisfied. So it's not only for us, and not only for the future. There is a looking towards the past, in a sense, yeah. Right? Do you want to add something for the song before we move to talk about Arik Einstein?
I think that we need to talk here about the Hebrew language.
Which sentence are you... Here, Vashafa Shanidama, yeah, the language that was dormant, awaked up again, spoken.
That is talk more than the language, than the land of Israel. And I think that they want to tell us something about how we, all of the Jewish, come together to the land that in the Torah was alive, in the Chumashim, and now we came back with the language, with the Torah language. And I think that it's a really important sentence to understand the feelings that they had when they saw all the Jewish together again. And for me, it's really exciting.
That's based on that layer. A land and a nation were formed, and the language that was dormant awaked up again. So it's the language, it's the land, it's the nation.
Awake, it's something that
It was dormant, exactly. So we talked about Arik. Any questions, by the way, before we continue to the song?
Or sharing.
Anyone want something to say?
We want to hear you also.
Just go through the people. That's a very fun song. I agree with everyone who wrote down in the chat. It's a very happy and a very, very fun song. Okay, Arik Einstein. Yes, Moishe.
You know, I apologize because I missed the first 10 minutes, but my favorite Canadian song is by Gordon Lightfoot, and it is called the Canadian Pacific Trilogy. And it seems to me remarkable how similar the two songs are.
Really? Okay, now we're curious to look after the class and to hear the song in English, the Canadian one.
It's a 9-minute song. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll look for that.
Similar themes.
Thank you. Could you please send it in our chat? Can you please send the name of the song in the chat of the meeting so everyone else can also see it and look for that afterwards? They want to. Thank you very much.
Okay, if anybody doesn't know it, they really are not Canadians.
So we're not Canadians, so we don't know it. Not yet. Maybe after we know it, we're going to be more Canadians. Arik Einstein. Who is Arik Einstein?
Who?
Again, there is a quotation by Yoav Kutner. Yoav Kutner is one of the biggest music critics in Israel at all times. And his opinion really, really matters. And he said about Arik, after Arik passed away, he said, Arik is not only the biggest Israeli singer of all times, he is the voice of Israel himself. Just to see, I don't know if you know some of those songs, maybe they'll sound familiar to you. Some of Arik Einstein's most famous songs, Uf Gozal, for example, I don't know, see some faces are smiling. That's Arik Einstein's Atur Mitzchech.
And we will maybe see
them. We will see them go on the journey. Atur Mitzchech, which was awarded the most, I think the number one, top one Israeli songs of all times. Atur Mitzchech, Ani Ve'ata, if you know it, Adon Shoko, Saleat, many, many, many other songs, very famous ones. I will send after this document so you can click on the music and hear it. But I want to talk a little bit about its role in Israeli society. So Arik Einstein grew up in Tel Aviv. For him, singing this song is not a very natural. Why is that natural? Because someone who grew up in Tel Aviv, he was born in Tel Aviv, he grew up in Tel Aviv, he didn't experience, as a singer, now I'm saying, he didn't experience the difficulties, right, of what the song is talking about. And just for you, just to see, we said Dimona and Dgania. Okay? It's not two kibbutzim. This is a picture in the 50s of Dimona. Dimona, right in the midst of the desert in Israel, is a place where no one would like to be in the 50s. All right? It's a place what we call in Hebrew, Ma'abara. Ma'abara in Hebrew would be a camp. It's a camp where...
Ma'avar, something that we need to...
When some immigrants, right, they came to Israel...
It's not a place to live.
Transit camp.
Transit camp. Thank you very much. People came specifically from North Africa, which we'll discuss in another song about the treatment to the what we call the Edot HaMizrach, the Sephardic, the Olim, the immigrants from North Africa and who came not from Europe, but they were being placed after they just landed with the plane or they just came with the ship. They were placed in Dimona and in other places, but Dimona was one of the biggest camps just for temporarily. Some of them stayed there for years. We were talking about 4, 5, 6 years in this tent. Kids, babies were born. It wasn't easy. That's in the middle of the desert. All right, we need to understand. So when we say, when the song says, when Eli Mohar says we will light up Dimona and Dgania. You see, we lighted up Dimona and Dgania. Dimona was a very difficult place in the 50s. Also today, by the way, it's a city today. It's a bigger city, but it was a very difficult place.
And it's really far away from Jerusalem, you know. And all the Jews that want to come to Israel and Jerusalem, and also they tell us the story about that they want to see Jerusalem and...
It's not Jerusalem.
Dimona.
It's Dimona. Jerusalem is not in the song at all in that case, right? And now Dimona is very different than Dgania. You see Dimona and Dgania. You would think there are two kibbutzim. No. Dgania is a kibbutz. Dimona was a camp. Now Dgania in the 50s looked like that. All right? This is Dgania. Dgania is a kibbutz on the sea, on the shore of the Kinneret. All right, today there's Dgania Aleph, there's Dgania Bet. Back then there was only one Dgania. It was a place for when if someone got to Dgania, it's because he wanted to get to Dgania. It's because he wanted to work hard on the fields, to work the fields, and what we say like Choma u'Migdal, which it's the tower and the wall. They wanted to go to the kibbutzim in order to build new settlements. It's different immigrants. It's for, they came usually from Europe and not from North Africa or from Arab countries. And they settled down in a more, I would say, high society's places. So we need to understand that.
But also them, they from high society, but they come to build Israel, to work with the land.
To work with them. No, of course, yeah. They weren't lazy at all. They build up the
but
land
they
with
want
both
to do
hands.
That.
Right.
They really
right,
want to do that
right,
and go to
the right. Kibbutz. Going to the kibbutzim, working in the kibbutzim, it was something about, but again, when the writer says when we light up the Gan and Dimona, they're not the same. And Ari Kaimshin grew up
just
in Tel Aviv.
Havuz. How do you say Havuz?
Just a it rhymes. It just rhymes in that case, but there is a lot of meanings when he combines
two
them too.
Place, yeah.
And Ari Kaimshin didn't grow up not here and not here. Ari Kaimshin grew up in Tel Aviv, and he didn't experience the difficulties of the Olim, which you may say, wait, but that's a song, that's the singer.
I just want to add that also Ali, that written the song, grew up in Tel Aviv.
They're both Tel Avivians, all right? They both grew up in Tel Aviv. None of them grew up in the kibbutzim or in those camps. They didn't experience it. I think, as what Priel started with, and we can finish with, I think my suggestion would be that the dissonance that you said that there is between the melody, the music, and the words come derived from the fact they didn't experience it.
And maybe the words and the reality.
Derived from the fact that I think they didn't experience it. That's what I said.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Were they children of immigrants?
Yes, they were children of immigrants.
I don't understand the question.
The Emiratim Shel Olim?
Ah.
We need to figure, I don't know. We didn't check that. That's a very good question. I'm not sure Ari Kaimshin was a, I think Ari Kaimshin was, actually.
I know that the parents was citizens.
They were citizens, yeah, they were Zionists. They were very Zionist, yeah. They were very Zionist in that case. I don't know if they were sons of, but they didn't experience what they're talking about, the song. I think what Priel tried to say, the dissonance, what my I would suggest, would be the fact that the singer and the songwriter are writing and singing about stuff they didn't experience. And this is very much different than last week with Yehuda Polycarp in that case, which I think the melody and the lyrics are kind of in harmony.
And I just want to share an idea and a thought that I learned from this beautiful song, that we have an halacha in Pesach. Kol Adam, kol Yehudi, chayav lirot et atzmo kiilu yotze mimitzrayim. Every Jewish need to see himself like
he went out of Egypt.
And I think that it tells us a lot of our Jewish community, that we want to tell the story. Maybe the story is not really correct, and it's a big problem, I think. But there is something really beautiful that when we tell the story, it's us. We get out from the machanot, ghetto.
From the camps.
Camps. And they are tzabar, they lived in Israel. Why they tell like this story? We came from Europe.
From Arab countries.
Yeah, all of that. And I think that our community, our Jewish community, have this power that we are all together. And now when I live here in Canada, I really understand how it's really difficult to do Aliyah. Also, my family made Aliyah. And I really understand that, okay, we are all at the same boat. It's correct.
Yeah, I think they're different in English. Maybe we're all in the same boat.
In Hebrew, it's... yeah. And I really love this song because of that, because of this
beautiful
message.
Beautiful. Wow.
We want to hear you if you want
that's,
to tell
if you thank. Thank you very much, first of all, for coming to this song. We really, really, really appreciate it. We will send afterwards. You know what? I will send now on here on the
chat.
On the chat, I will send a link to this document so you can all afterwards see it. No, I don't have here that document. I don't think. Or maybe I do have it. And I will send afterwards an email with the document. You can listen to the song. It's a very fun song just to listen, even without the meaning, right,
yeah,
of the song itself. And I think it completes the picture of what we did last week. What do we do now? I think it...
Something more happy.
Something a little bit more happy.
You ask.
And if someone has a question or something to say, thank you very much for coming. We're here for listening for questions and stuff like that. And we will see you again next week with a new song. We need to choose what to do next week.
Something maybe more modern.
Maybe something more modern. We'll see.
Yeah.
We have some ideas in our minds.
That's one question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just one question. So first of all, thank you very much. It was very nice, and the shiur is actually it's a beautiful shiur. I think maybe just one thing that you really need to understand, maybe for next time, is 1987, really, the atmosphere in Israel was not a song. Like somebody said, this is like a 50s song. Like, what made the two of them all of a sudden put together a song about Chalutzim, really in the midst of when Israel was transforming from a small economy to a large economy? This is when high tech started, and this is when the restrictions on foreign currency were removed. This is when all of a sudden wealth was created in Israel. All of a sudden, to go back to the 1950s, I think that's really, it's a question that has to be asked. The song that you discussed last week, Efel Ve'avak, that wasn't about the time. That was something that was happening with Yehuda Poliker. He was going through his own personal transition, dealing with his parents and things like that. So the two things really aren't connected. But really, I think we have to ask the question, what made Arik Einstein in the late 80s all of a sudden be such a romantic about the 40s and the 50s? That's something that
Wow. Oh. Yeah, wow, that's no, that's a big, big question. Thank you. Definitely. The context and the time and the singers and you. Thank you, Dov. You lighted up the song in a new colors that we didn't see it before. Thank you. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yes, what? Who asked the question?
I said, that's what I found puzzling, because I thought he was writing this in the 50s, because
right.
He mentioned Ben-Gurion and all that.
Right.
But I think if you dig deeper, you may find that they are talking about stories they heard from somebody that was an immigrant.
Because stories that they heard from someone.
In the 80s, you know, I didn't experience it. I think they were talking about what they heard.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Claudette. And again, what Priel said, that connects to that, right? They, that even though maybe they did not experience, they felt, and as you say, as a daughter for Olim, they felt that they, kol adam chayav lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yetzam Mitzrayim. Every person needs to see himself, just like he made Aliyah in that case. And maybe they wrote it like what they would have felt if they would have done that. Thank you very much. Any Toda Rabbah, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And next week, same time.
Thank you for another beautiful evening.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ira.